And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. David, the election day, which marks now the end of the election season, is in a couple of days. And it's been interesting. It's been surprising. There are several races that are nationally significant. New York's mayor race with Mamdani, New Jersey's governor's race, Virginia's governor race. These are important races and interesting. They raise an important question beyond the races themselves, which I want to get to, and that is, what's the role of the Democratic Party? What's the social role of the Democrat? What's it for? What's it there for? What is it that it's supposed to do? How can we tell if it's doing what it's supposed to do? And in order to particularize this, I want to raise the issue of the Democratic Party in Lackawanna County, which seems to have, in local form, it seems to be bursting with lessons or examples of lessons that we could see on a national basis, but more easy to understand because it's so local. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, you say, what's the Democratic Party for? You remember the old quote from Will Rogers, I belong to no organized political party, yeah. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
It's always kind of been a coalition of diversity that really, you know, periodically coalesces around somebody who they perceive as a leader. You know, in the last century or so, the first one was Woodrow Wilson. The second one was, and the biggest one, of course, was Franklin Roosevelt, who managed to hold the Southern bigots together with Northeast, Northern, you know, liberals over really the restructuring of the American economy.
Not just liberals, socialists.
Socialists, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
You know, his policies sort of put those type of policies, the socialists, made them irrelevant for a long period of time, because why, you didn't need them. You had the Democrats.
I'd look at it differently. His policy was a social democratic policy. Now, social democratic policy is not necessarily a socialist policy. The social democrats, a European term, yeah. European parties, been in government throughout the 20th century from World War II onward, basically say capitalism needs to be regulated. Capitalism is fine, but it needs to be heavily regulated or it's not fine. And so they propose a series of heavy regulation to produce social benefits for poor people, for working people. That's sort of the social democratic policy. They don't propose to move to public ownership of the factories and the institutions of the economy. A socialist policy says the electoral system and the Constitution is fine, but it can be used to go beyond the private ownership of investment capital and the economy. The communist policy says the electoral system is not fine and you cannot use the institutions of the capitalist state to go beyond the capitalist state. Those are the three big, yeah, 20th century differences. Roosevelt was a social democrat. Not he, but his policies were social democratic.
But let me put it this way. Well, his policies were sufficient to really draw people who would otherwise be attracted to the socialist model.
That's correct. That's
away.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
And I think his big thing, as I look back on it, is that he changed the outlook of people as to what government was for.
Right.
The Republican What evolved after the Civil War with the Republican Party was basically this individualism. Everyone's on your own. And as you said, unregulated, sort of a free-for-all type of thing. And the government should stay out of things. That was their philosophy. What Roosevelt and his policy showed is the government could make people's lives better. They could make people's lives easier that they couldn't do on their own.
And right, because before Roosevelt, don't forget, we had no old age pensions. We had no welfare system. There was no unemployment insurance. The workers did not have the right to organize and bargain collectively. All of that was part of the New Deal. That's what brought, that was the New Deal.
Right. And it over, you know, and it worked.
Yeah.
It created this huge middle class of people who, and the American itself benefited. Of course, after World War II played a part in the industrialization of America and the deindustrialization of Europe and Japan, so that in post-war we were the only place that really had didn't have to reconstruct itself.
But also, you have to bear in mind that the New Deal and all those programs fundamentally were not for Black Americans or for Mexican Americans, Hispanic Americans. The jobs that they had were excluded from Social Security, they're from pensions. They were not covered by anti-redlining. They did not have access to credit. That was the deal that Roosevelt made with the racists in the Southern Democratic Party. That
Yep.
allowed the rest of the country to benefit, the northern parts of the country to benefit. It was
Right.
at the expense of the majority Black population in the South and the Hispanic population throughout the
Yeah.
Southwest. So,
And that was
the New Deal
the
was,
evolution.
Yeah, the
The
New Deal was
evolution
flawed. Yeah.
Yeah. The evolution that followed in the Democratic Party with Harry Truman,
yeah.
Integrating the military, having a civil rights plank, driving Strom Thurmond and the Dixiecrats out for a while, and then, of course, culminating with Lyndon Johnson, who was a New Dealer, but added that civil rights.
Yeah, he was a Southern New Dealer
rights.
Who was part of the Dixiecrat coalition who broke with them.
Yeah, and the famous conversations he had with Richard Russell, the senator from Georgia,
right?
basically tell him, Richard, you're a racist.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do this with or without your help. So, but anyway, it's hard. The Democrats being a more widespread coalition, difficult to hold them together. It evolved. A lot of had big city power brokers. Very much ran the party, so to speak, and could produce the votes.
Well, yeah, you had in New York City,
Richard,
you had the Tammany Hall,
Tammany
you
Hall,
had in
Richard Daley in Chicago.
Chicago, Pennsylvania, you had the machine
David
in Philadelphia, Lawrence.
Yeah,
right?
David Lawrence was from Pittsburgh, but he was, yeah, but you had Philadelphia, you had Dick Dilworth came on after 48. Philadelphia was the last big city to turn Democratic from Republican. You had the fellow from Connecticut who became Postmaster General under Kennedy. That
you had
was
the
their
Kansas
thing.
City. You had the Kansas City machine that produced Harry Truman.
Yep. Of course, you had corruption in these machines as well.
But that's what
their
basis was. The basis of these machines was patronage, contracts, jobs and contracts, money. It was a business. And they corralled the immigrant vote, and that was the basis of the business. It was not a democratic organization, small d.
Right. And the Republicans didn't want the Catholics and the immigrant vote. They wanted, they were like the Puritans in that respect. And of course, things started changing in the 1970s and with the religious right and Ronald Reagan and whatever and the coalitions that were built there. But, bringing it to local.
But generally, you had a spread of democracy in the country.
Yeah.
right? More groups were admitted to American democracy. Voting restrictions against minorities, black people in the South, would overcome or destroyed. Fights over redistricting to broaden actual access to power took place and were successful. You had a broadening of democracy. That was the point of the political struggles, the domestic political struggles in the United States in the 20th century, right?
And where certain things didn't set in, the federal government stepped in. You know, the Little Rock, Arkansas, the integration there.
But one thing didn't get democratized, and that is the party structure. And now, if you look at the rules of the Democratic Party, the bylaws, there is no place, you will search for it, and you will not find it. There is no place in the bylaws for policy discussion. There is no place in the bylaws for the Democratic, small d, control of the officers. There is no place except the party convention where policy can be legitimately raised, debated, and accepted or denied. It doesn't exist. If you want to raise policy within the Democratic Party, you have to. There's really no way to do it without suspending the rules. So this is a contradiction. The party, which the working people used to look to advance the expansion and lead the expansion of democratic rights, has within itself no mechanism for being democratic. And that hasn't changed. And I tell you, I bet you, that is institutionally at the heart of the malaise of the Democratic Party.
Well, there's certainly, I don't know if you want to label it a malaise of the Democratic Party here locally, particularly in Lackawanna County.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Take a look at Lackawanna County. Tell us what happened.
Well, we've had a Democratic Party chairman, Chris Patrick, for a number of years. And things have, for want of a better word, deteriorated under him.
Who elected him?
Well, committee people elected.
Committee people. Okay, very good. Very good.
And a couple of years ago, there was an attempt to oust him, but he controlled enough of the committee people and got proxy ballots and what have her, and he stayed on. And there was also some questions about who counts the votes, on that. Mm-hmm. But the party registration keeps deteriorating. The party has no real money. They don't have, you go to even outlying counties. I've been down a heavily Republican county, Adams County, down in Gettysburg, or down in Columbia County, Bloomsburg. And there are storefronts for the party has a storefront in the largest towns there. We don't have that anymore in Lackawanna County. There is no party. They don't even have a storefront for the Democrats.
In other words, if you want to go to the Democratic Party headquarters, there's no place to go.
Right.
Right.
Right. Periodic, they've been more, now they've had some, but in the past, and for elections, some of the union halls have effectively served that point, but they just don't have it. Mm-hmm. And what Chris Patrick has become is a patronage guy and trying to control the patronage and keep
and control. He doesn't control City Hall. He doesn't control the mayor.
No. And even the city party is in pretty much in disarray. In the primary, the Democratic city chairman ran against the incumbent mayor and got thrashed in the election by like a 3-1 margin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. It's devolved into mostly friends and family. But
how about registration? How has he done leading the registration campaigns?
The Republicans keep gaining.
Are there in fact any registration campaigns?
There are none.
There are none.
There are none. There are none.
His leadership is impeccable.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. It's predictable. and you go to places Even like the No Kings rally, the Republicans had a registration booth set up there. Now, it was mostly for trolling. They didn't want it. They were just, you know, trying to have fun, so to speak. But if they looked around, then maybe they should have been a little bit worried seeing so many people coming out and so many signs. But that's a different story. But right now we have this rift that's developed. It's been an undertow of the party, but now the group in what we call the Abingtons, Clark Summit, South Abington Township, and the, those areas.
These are suburbs of Scranton.
The northern, northwestern suburbs of Scranton, which used to be heavily Republican, are now more Democrat. Mm-hmm. In their political leanings, more organized well by the Democrats, mm-hmm. thanks to a handful of women who have taken things by the reins. And they've now gone into open rebellion against the party over Chris Patrick's deal-making on filling vacancies in the in county elected offices. Don't forget, the last election for county commissioner, it was more of an insurgent whim. Two outsiders, Bill Gaughan, who was from the city, a young guy, and Matt McGloin, a newcomer to politics but a former football star, won the commissioners as Democrats. And they weren't beholden to Chris Patrick. Unfortunately, Matt McGloin decided this wasn't for him, and he resigned, and it's caused a whole cascade of problems. And the issue was who would fill his spot. After a long legal battle, the county home rule charter prevailed, and it said that when there's a vacancy, the party whose candidate left office gets to fill that office. And the way they do is they present three names to the county court, and the court picks one of those names. And so Chris
Patrick... That's the law. That's not custom. That's the law.
That's the home rule law.
Right.
So Chris Patrick wanted to take over, and he had more or less a perfect candidate, a woman who had been fired by McGloin and Gaughan, Brenda Sacco. And he nominated her with two people who were going to be totally unpalatable to the court because they just weren't qualified in any way to run the county. So she got appointed.
But wasn't one of these two women, one of these two who you say were unqualified, actually a participant in MAGA rallies?
No. That was for a different office. I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so we have Brenda Sacco there right now as the county commissioner, who has teamed up with the Republican commissioner as to take away power from Bill Gaughan, the elected Democrat. Okay, we don't have an elected Democrat on the county commissioners, so we have a coalition between an unelected Democrat and an elected Republican. There was also now a second county row office, the clerk of judicial records, who had a vacancy, and that was filled the same way by the Democratic Party nominating someone. However, nominating three people and one being chosen, the person that they wanted and the person that got chosen was actually someone who was at the January 6th rally by Trump and wore a MAGA hat.
And down in Washington, she was part of the riot in Washington. Yeah,
yeah. She wasn't in the building. She didn't violate the law.
No, but she was at the supported, rally. Yeah,
she supported Trump, obviously.
Yeah,
and that hasn't sat well.
And that's the one. That's the person that the chairman of the Democratic Party nominated for this office.
Right. So now there's two offices that are up for election this time. There was another question as to what the law allows, but the it got certified that there would be an election not when the terms were up in 2 years, but this year, in order to fill the vacancies on a permanent basis rather than on this temporary basis. Insurgents are have put up candidates. One is a fellow named Mike Capellini, who's running as an independent, but was really a Democrat and wanted to, you know, presented himself to Chris Patrick for nomination and was rejected out of hand. And then on the clerk of judicial records, we have Eileen Egan Garrity running against the handpicked clerk of judicial records.
Which we call the MAGA Democrat.
Yeah, the MAGA Democrat. And Eileen has a long family history of her grandfather was a DA in Lackawanna County at age 26, became a judge, became a Supreme Court judge. So they've got a long pedigree there. And she was an aide, one of the top aides to former Congressman Matt Cartwright. So if these two insurgents win, if Capellini and Garrity win, that's going to present a real problem for Chris Patrick, because it shows that he doesn't have the oomph. Now, in the commissioner's race, he has another ally. He has State Senator Marty Flynn, who it came out this week is Brenda Sacco chose not to run again. She's relying on the fact that the election is somehow going to be voided, or she can work around it and stay in office until for another 2 years. There's going to be a winner. Marty Flynn has thrown $100,000 into the race for his former aide, Tom Welby. Now, Welby's qualified to be a county commissioner. He knows government. He's worked in Harrisburg for years. He is now part of the old boy machine. Capellini is a younger face who says, we have to widen the party and open us up. But there was a new twist that came out this past weekend. Brenda Sacco wrote a letter supposedly on behalf of the commissioners, but in fact, it was only on herself and her legal counsel, apparently, to the president judge saying, can you clarify who's going to be the county board of elections that's going to oversee this election that's happening on Tuesday? And there was questions raised as, why does that have to be clarified? Court order is pretty clear. The sitting county commissioners in any race that they're not a part of are the board of elections. But when there's an election for county commissioner, the court appoints a different one, and they've appointed President Judge Gibbons has appointed three of his members of his bench to be to be on the board of elections. And what Sacco, I think, is afraid of is they're going to certify a winner in the election, and she doesn't want one to be certified.
Because then she keeps the job.
That she keeps the job.
Yeah.
And the Judge Gibbons, to his credit, has said, I don't need to clarify anything. My order is clear. These three judges are the Board of Elections. And by the way, who are you representing except yourself? Because Chris Chermak, the other commissioner, says, I don't have anything to do with this. And I didn't know about it, although there are some indications he may have known about the letter, but didn't join it. So
what all of these details come down to is that nowhere is any policy being discussed. This is all patronage,
right,
and maneuvering for a job.
The
Democratic nominee immediately turned against the Democratic majority and produced a Republican majority, right?
Right. There is only one policy issue that's on the table, and that's over the county reassessment that's been taking place, because there hadn't been a reassessment in 40 years. Lackawanna County was way off in the way that they valued people's properties for tax purposes. And there was a court order based on a lawsuit that came to a stipulated result that said that the county has to reassess. And so they spent the money, and they had a team of professionals who have reassessed every property in Lackawanna County. And the old guard, now represented by Chris Patrick and Tom Welby, and the Republican who's running for the office, a guy named Chet Murley, have said, oh, we've got to pause that. We don't want it to go into effect. We haven't had enough time. You know, there's still questions remaining. And the other side of the story is you can't do that. You've got a stipulated court order. By January 1st, we have to have the reassessment validated. And so that's the only policy dispute.
But the issue is a critical issue because people on fixed incomes are threatened with the assessment going way out of control beyond their ability to pay the tax.
Yes. But what it may really be is the people with the higher value properties who have been getting lower assessments are the ones that are going to get hit. And the older properties, the formula is supposed to be one third have their assessments raised, one third lowered, and one third stay the same. But everybody's playing on the fear of the little old widow who lives on Social Security, whose property hasn't been reassessed in 40 years, having to pay more.
And what do the Democrats have to offer to help that widow? So that the Republican argument that uses the widow to protect the rich people who could pay is undercut.
Well, that's the question.
There is no argument, right? There is no proposal.
That's it. There is, and it's a difficult thing, but it's the fairer way to.
The point is, the people who look to the Democrats to protect the widow look at them and say, "Well, you haven't done anything."
Yeah.
The Democratic program is no different than the Republican program.
Yeah.
That's why I say, and that on that local level in Lackawanna County is the Democratic Party in every county and the Democratic Party in every state. You may say, yes, I'm for the working man, but put your money where your mouth is. It doesn't happen. Right?
To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, there are programs on state and national over other things like taxes, raising minimum wage, stuff like that that the Democrats do push, or subsidies for health insurance that Democrats do push that do help the ordinary person. But the locals can't do that.
They could do it, but they don't do it.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's the issue in the Mamdani campaign. On a local basis, he's saying, I'm going to try to do these things. And the Democrats who run against them, Cuomo and the head of the state Democratic Party and various congressmen and the senator, Schumer, they say, you can't do these things. The point is, you can do these things. You have to try to do these things. If you can't do these things, then why shouldn't you vote MAGA? That's right. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, except MAGA is just going to make things worse.
Well, how could it be worse? If you have as a Democrat, you have no way to make it different, then what could be worse?
Well, because it's the MAGA policies. What you're saying is the Democrats have to put some sort of Band-Aid over the wounds of the MAGA policies.
No, the Band-Aids have to oppose the MAGA policy. They're not doing it. That's my point.
The MAGA policies are what make things worse.
Yes, the MAGA policy is making things worse. But if the Democrats don't say, no, here's the alternative policy, and they don't say that, then why would people go for them? But anybody looking at it would say, well, there's nothing you can do. What the hell? And then you get a demagogue like Trump that says, I alone can fix it. And people listen to that. They don't understand the ins and outs. Nobody tells them the ins and outs. If they told them the ins and outs, their eyes would glaze over.
Right.
But Trump says, I alone can fix it. You alone can fix it. Fix it.
Right. Well, we're still waiting for the...
I understand
every 2 weeks, we're going to have repeal and replace. And he had the cheaper, better replacement plan for
there
Obama.
There is none. There is one. Everybody should have Medicare. Yeah, that's, there is one. So health care for all. There is that. The Democrats don't support that. Anyway, we're done.
Let's see what the
elections turn out.
That'll be our next show.
That'll be our next show. See you next week.
See you next
week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk.
Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.